The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
For me, footwork has been something that's got me out of trouble on more than one occasion on and off the pitch, so I'll go with that one.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Finn, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going?
Good, thanks. You're not wearing your medal for us this morning, are you?
Didn't actually get a medal.
All right. All right.
They just gave me a little plaque.
That's kind of disappointing. I thought that when you like win a silver medal, you actually get a silver medal.
You'd think that, wouldn't you? But no, with the Laser World Championships, it's always the same kind of plaque. So it's still cool.
Okay,
so
very good.
I'm happy.
Very good. Yeah, you haven't like drilled a hole in it and started to wear it round and go, hey, look, I just won a silver in a. Tell us a little bit about it. What's the aftermath of achieving something like this actually like for you? What's that mix of emotions?
You know, it's really cool. I've been doing this a while now. Like I finished school 2014 and I've been full time since. And to finally get some recognition, like a really good result, I'm delighted. I'm really, really happy.
That's a long time to continue going. And I know early in your career, you had success. You qualified for an Olympic Games. And then just last year, you didn't qualify for the Olympic Games, but you've come back from that and bounced back. So that suggests that this has been a bit of a roller coaster for you.
Yeah, for sure. There was something about like not qualifying for Japan. I thought on my day that I could go there and get a medal. For sure, I was good enough to be top 10, top 8 if I had qualified. But not qualifying was really the worst case scenario. And once you hit the worst case scenario, kind of, you're not so scared of failing. So I thought after that, it kind of freed me up to just go out there and sail freely and do my best. And that put me in second to the world. So, yeah.
That's a remarkable mindset shift. How quickly after the disappointment of not qualifying for the Olympics do you realize that actually it could lead to maybe less fear in the boat?
We have a really good debrief system in Irish Sailing. And I sat down and towards the end of it, we kind of realized that this, you know, always the worst things that happen, there's always a positive to it, you know? I kind of thought maybe this is the positive, like I'm not going to be scared of failing. Just went to Europeans was a month before the Worlds and I finished seventh and I was thinking, okay, this is already good. And then second at the Worlds was an amazing way to finish the season.
Because I did a piece, I think I spoke to you that day, Finn, a couple of years ago down in your high performance center, and up on the wall there, they have, I think, is it a quote or is it a photograph of Annalise from the London Games, which is obviously a hugely heart-wrenching moment for her and for everybody that was following her progress that week. That's clearly part of what you're talking about here, this realization that tapping into that terrible moment as it is in that day or in that week and utilizing it for progression and for the betterment of yourself.
Yeah, sometimes you need to go through that to life would be a lot easier for our families and coaches and everybody if we could do it first time round. But going through the hardship, I think sailing is such an experienced sport. Like the Olympic medalists, one of the guys was 35. One of the guys competing was 50. So it really is, you have to have been there and done that. And I think the experience of not qualifying for Japan, although it was the worst thing that happened in my career, I think it helps my performance now. Knowing that it's not the end of the world. Nothing changes. I still go home and my dogs still love me. So, nothing really changes. You're just disappointed and people are disappointed for you. But if you can kind of hold on to nothing really changes, just go out there and do your best. I think it's the best way to perform.
It mustn't have felt like that at the time. And look, it's great that we can have this conversation about the pain because you've just won silver in the world, which is like one of the all-time great achievements in Irish sailing. So, let's linger on the pain for a couple of minutes because I think it's really interesting to see somebody recover from that. Given that this had been your identity since you'd left school, it must have been unbelievably difficult when you didn't qualify. And I know you're able to talk about it now and say, okay, I was able to turn that into, but how long did that take and what was Like, did you think about quitting at any stage? Did you think, right, I've had enough of this now?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I did. It's funny that we're able to talk about it now. I had an interview after, straight away after the regatta in Portugal in April. And the guy said it was for radio, but he couldn't use it on radio because I was just moping around. Nobody wanted to listen to me during that interview. No, yeah, I definitely thought about quitting. I was fully ready to just give it one more go for the Europeans and Worlds. That's just gone. To fully give it another go, just because I couldn't leave it like I left it in Portugal. And I'm delighted I did, because now life will be a lot easier after getting second at the World Championships. Easier to get training partners for the next cycle. More funding. So I'm happy.
When you think about quitting, do you kind of follow it through to the end conclusion about what you're going to do on a day-to-day basis, or is it just a fleeting thought?
It's hard to justify being away training, you know, half the year, away from your girlfriend, away from your family, if you're not kind of coming back with some sort of success. But at the same time, I have a really close group around me, and everybody around me wanted me to continue because they knew that I could achieve success. And it was just a matter of time. So after having some chats with the people closest to me, we all kind of agreed that I should give it one more go and see what happens. And if I came to the Worlds and came 30th, then maybe it's just not for me. But obviously that didn't happen. And I'm happy.
And do you have an exterior life to sailing? Because we were talking with Matt Williams yesterday about the World Cup, and he's like, you must be absolutely obsessive about it. Everything you do must be driven by the fact that you're trying to win a World Cup. And I guess for a professional individual like you, there has to be a level of madness and a strain of obsession involved in driving you to the level where you're second in the world. And at the same time, you desperately need some escape from that. So how do you balance that?
Yeah, probably not very well. Sailing is completely everything since I was a kid. I was completely obsessed. My two older brothers were on Irish sailing teams before me. And I remember taking my eldest brother's notebook from all the notes he's taken and just rewriting all the notes when I was like 8, which probably half of it went over my head, but I was just obsessed. Life out of sailing, not so much. Sailing's great that it can kind of be your life because there's so many different things you can do. My family all sails. I met my girlfriend through sailing. Half the time I'm traveling, and if I'm not sailing, I could be coaching or I can sail on big boats. It really is always on the mind, kind of like an obsession, as you were saying.
It's not a bad lifestyle, though. If you're as into it as you are, like, there's definitely you versus the elements, which can be pretty nice, I suspect.
Yeah, no, it is. I can't imagine some other sports that they just do the same thing every day. For us, we're going to different locations. It's different weather. The world's just gone. We were racing at 8 in the morning when the sun was rising. And it was like 10 degrees, which for Irish people isn't cold, but for all the other sailors, they were all dying. And then other times, I have a training camp in Cyprus planned, and it's going to be the exact opposite, really nice sea breeze conditions with perfect training. It doesn't really get old, you know. If you're passionate about it and if you love it, then it's a sport for life.
You mentioned there that the success last week will make it easier for you to find training partners. Is a lot of it done in solitude at the same time?
Not really, no. I'm lucky that I have training partners all the time. We have a really good group in the Irish sailing team now. Pretty much everybody's around the same age and we're all great pals. So when we're at home, we're all the fitness and gym training we do together. And then abroad, I need to find training partners. But yeah, that's not much is done alone. Hmm. It's hard to train in a boat by yourself, then it is boring. But if you have a good group, it makes life a lot easier.
I can imagine, and I assume it just makes everything so much easier this year as well when you have that support base back at home when you are limbering up for something like the championships last week, for example.
Yeah. No, the team's performing really well. The 49er world, the double-handed boat is on now in Oman, and both crews won a race on the first day. So it's a young team and it's a really good team. I definitely think if we kind of keep working hard, keep our heads down, that Paris could be good for the Irish sailing team.
Finn, you won silver at the Laser World Championships in Barcelona. Tell me, is the Laser guaranteed? Because sometimes there's messing around with different types of boats and the Olympics can change from, we see it in rowing all the time. The Laser's fairly standard. It's always going to be there. Is that fair?
Yeah. Laser will be there for this Games and the next one. It's the biggest dinghy class in the world. So it's fairly certain that it'll stay. It's a really popular boat.
And just explain how the event works for everybody, because as far as I know, there was 8 races, and the guy who got gold, you actually had better results in the whole 8 races, but actually he wins gold because they take out your worst performance. Is that what happens?
Yeah. So after you finish 4 races, you can take out your worst result, and after you finish 10, you can take out your another result. But at the Worlds last week, we only raced 3 of the days because the weather was quite mad. We didn't actually race the last day, so we were waiting on shore from early in the morning until like 2 to find out if we were going out. And I obviously knew that I was in a medal position, so that was a mixed emotions. I needed to get psyched to try go out and win the Worlds, because you don't get that opportunity very often. But then at the same time, I was like, oh, well, I'll take silver, waiting on shore for the wind. But yeah, we have 2 races per day, usually of around an hour, over a 6-day competition. So it's a real endurance sport. And you could get a range of conditions during the week, from strong winds to light winds. And it's a game of consistency. Who can keep their scores low on average for the whole week. And I did that this week, and I had my worst score was much better than the Kiwi guy who won. But he deserved to win. He did really, really well. If there was one more race, it would have been interesting. But yeah, it is what it is.
And you talk about the endurance there. What is your fitness level like? How much time do you spend on fitness versus technique on the water?
A lot. In my boat particularly, it's like 50% fitness, 50% sailing. So we would be training a lot on the bike and in the gym a couple of days a week. So this off season now, it looks just like I'm pretty much going to be training like a cyclist, doing some gym and little bits of sailing, and then ramp it back up for the season in the boat next year. But yeah, we train a lot on the bike.
Like, give us distances. When you say you're training like a cyclist, so is it on a stationary bike, or are you actually out on the road?
Yeah, no, out on the road. We probably do 2 or 3 cycles, maybe over 2 hours. And then all the other days you're either doing recovery or so like you're still on the bike. You're cycling 6 or 7 days a week. Just to build up that endurance, because on the last day of the regatta, if you're still feeling fresh, it's a huge benefit.
Right, that's interesting. I didn't realize what the balance was like, and it's obviously a very mentally tough sport, because you get fatigued, and then you have to be very precise technically as well. That psychology, how has that piece been for you over the last number of years, where you do have early success, you do get an Olympic Games very early in your career, and then afterwards you don't? So is there a sports psychologist in your team, and what's that relationship like at the moment?
Yeah, no, I've been working with sports psychologists since I was 13. but as you grow older, everything changes. And as you get more professional, you feel pressure more as well. Like, for example, for Rio qualifying, you could say it was lots of pressure in the trials, but at the same time, I had nothing to lose. I was this young guy. I was the youngest guy to qualify. So it was a completely different type of pressure to Tokyo in the last qualification, where I was the favorite to qualify. People were all thinking, oh, the Irish guy will qualify and we'll see about the other spots. So, yeah, it's just about experiencing all the different emotions and feelings that come up in those like clinch moments. We prepared as well as we could have for the trials, like really doing mental imagery and trying to replicate what it will feel like, but you can't replicate what it feels like to sail in Olympic qualifications when qualifying for the games is your life. Yeah, sports psychology is a huge, huge part of sailing. And it's definitely what sets the best from the rest.
And so was identifying what happened when you failed to qualify useful when it came to day three or day two of the Worlds this time, where you were like, actually, you know what, I'm in contention here. Were there similar things that you could look back on? I didn't do this well when I failed to qualify for the Olympics. I'm going to do this well now when there is a medal on the line for the World Championships.
Yeah, it's just about staying in the moment, which is very easy to say and very hard to do. You can't be thinking about like what's going to happen if you mess up, or even what's going to happen if you win. You just need to stay in the moment and kind of go with the flow. And if you can do that every race, and then kind of nearly if you can come to the end of the regatta and be like, oh, okay, I am in a medal position. I hadn't thought about this yet. That's a good sign, I think.
And is that what happened with qualifying for Tokyo, that it just, the moment became too much? You were thinking too much about the future.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. It was, it's hard to describe. It's just something that it just weighed me down. I was super stressed. I got sick during the regatta, probably because of the stress. And I just kind of needed to go with the flow a little bit. This regatta, every morning I was chatting with all the other guys, just being happy, being going with the flow and enjoying my racing and staying in the moment. And it's really a recipe for success.
Are there mindfulness tricks? Is it that kind of stuff? Or is it a specific recipe that you have for yourself, which is actually just talking to other people?
Well, that's on the land stuff. Just being normal was what I was doing on the land. And then on the water, it's important to be able to catch yourself if your mind starts to get negative. If you can catch yourself and maybe a bit of self-talk saying like, okay, think about what's important here. So maybe 10 times during the regatta, I kind of caught myself getting flustered and I would just kind of shout at myself, technique, technique, technique. Just go back to exactly what you can focus on to make the boat go fast right now and not be worrying about it. Because you can get emotions of stress or you could even be scared during races, but if you can just notice that you're feeling that way and then set your mind right just by speaking to yourself, that's the best thing to do, which is very easy to say, but it takes a lot of experience, a lot of times to be in that moment to be able to do it.
I think most of us have trouble concentrating for 10 to 15 seconds and you've got to concentrate for an hour. It's a remarkable achievement to be able to do that and to rescue your mindset in the middle of it. Go, no, whoa, 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 calm, stop. Technique. It's really interesting insight to, and a lot of the golfers have earworms to kind of get themselves out of stuff. Is there any of that kind of stuff where like, is there a musical element to it at all?
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't be able to listen to the music out on the water, but, I think lots of people have like phrases written on their boat that if they look at it, that it'll, snap them back into reality kind of, to make them think about the most important things.
Do you have one?
And no, no, sorry. No, I just, a lot of the time I'm just shouting at myself to, to get back into focus what you to be focusing what I should be focusing on.
Right. So there's like you and your 25 competitors all shouting at themselves on the water. It's quite a scene, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's actually funny you say that, because sometimes when you're racing beside boats that are neck and neck with each other and it's really, really light winds, it's super quiet, but super tense. So then you can mess with people and you can like whistle in your boat to make them think that you're completely relaxed, but that can backfire as well. It's better that you just concentrate. But I found myself during the week just really enjoying myself. Like the second last race, the regatta, I was leading. I finished second in the regatta, and the Russian guy was right beside me, and I said to him, "This is cool, isn't it?" And he didn't say anything because he was a bit more concentrated, I think. But I don't know.
That's class.
Just enjoying it is important, I guess.
Any trash talk out in the water that you've experienced?
Maybe not in world championships. In training, probably. Just to keep it a bit lighthearted. But no, not really. It's a gentleman's sport.
Right.
For now, anyway.
Yeah.
For now, anyway. No pirates yet. Finn, great stuff. Congratulations. A silver medal at the World Championships is a brilliant story, but the recovery and the comeback story is the type of thing that I think everybody can identify with. So so well done. Keep it going. And the time frame between now and Paris, obviously, like when will you officially qualify for Paris? How does that work?
The World's in 2023.
Okay, so you have a bit of time.
Yeah, a bit of time until that.
Well, enjoy it and enjoy whatever off-season you get as well. Finn, great to have you with us. Thanks a million.
Thanks very much.
Fascinating stuff there from Finn Lynch, Irish sailor who won a silver plaque at the World Championships. Right, OTBM with Gillette, proud sponsors of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow. Did you get out in the water that day when you were out there?
Yeah, we did. We got brought out and I don't think I was under the same boat as Finn, but it was a different boat and we got to see them do their thing. And I'd say that he's probably right there when he says there's a bit of trash talk in training and stuff like that. It is really a team that they've got down there in Dunleary. I'd say they were probably very entertained with us being enthralled by the fact that we were out in the water on a boat.
Did they know you couldn't swim? Did you tell them that before in advance, by the way?
Yeah.
Just in case this capsizes, someone's going to have to come and rescue me.
I did have a life jacket on.
Okay.
I was the only person wearing a life jacket.
Well, fair enough.
I think many of us were.